Jesus is good. Amen. Tis the season to praise him. Amen. Hopefully nobody's worried tonight about Christmas shopping or any kind of crazy thing like that. Cast all your cares upon him. Don't worry about it. Amen. Well, get your Bibles out. I want to share a word with you tonight. If you would go to the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy, chapter 20. I'd like to tell you I had like a real cheery Christmas message tonight, but I don't. It's hard for me to preach messages like for, you know, nice little messages for Christmas and Easter. And you know, I just don't do that well. I just got to preach what the Holy Ghost is saying to me. And I'll see if we can twist this around into sounding like a Christmas message. But I have Sunday to come up with something. Still for Christmas. To be Christmassy. So Sunday we will be singing, the praise and worship band will be singing Christmas carols. So, you know, my favorite Christmas carol is Oh Holy Night. I just have always thought, it's always a kid I loved it. I never knew the story behind it. And then come to find out the story behind it, I don't know if anybody knows, but I'll tell you Sunday. Nah, I'll tell you tonight. But it was like, you know, I don't even have my facts straight because I didn't look it all up, but, you know, it was like 1700, something like that. The Catholic priest is over in Italy, and he's wanting everybody, just tells everybody, he said, you know, look, bring a poem or bring something for Easter Sunday if somebody'd like to, you know, deliver something. And like a typical church, nobody wants to do anything, so nobody comes up with anything. And so finally this little guy over in the side of the church had just kind of came. I think he was like a cobbler or something like that that just had no really activity in the church. He says, you know, he goes home and he comes in back and tells the priest, I have a poem. And it was Oh Holy Night that the Lord had given to him at that night. And he had the whole thing. And then it was a poem and then turned into a song. But I was like, okay, that's what I like to, you know. I want something straight from heaven. But it's always been my favorite one, so my wife has to sing it. So anyway, like I said, we'll see if we twist this into some sort of a Christmas thing. But I was reading here in Deuteronomy chapter 20. Guess you want to know what verse, huh? Well, let's see. I don't even have it down. Oh, verse 1, how about that? That'll work. And I'm just going to jump into this, and then let's just see where we go. Okay, it says, so Moses is explaining to everybody, you know, all the book of Deuteronomy is him going over the law and how everything's supposed to be applied, how God wants everything to take place, all the sacrifices, all this kind of stuff like this. Well, he gets into here and to instructions to going to war. Right? So it says, when you go out to battle against your enemies, does anybody have an enemy you'd like defeated in your life? Huh? I mean, does everybody in here have an enemy? Don't we all have enemies that we would like defeated in life? I don't mean necessarily people. You know, I'm talking things and hindrances and problems and habits and this and that. When you go out against your enemies and you see horses and chariots and people more numerous than you, do not be afraid of them, for the Lord your God is with you, who brought you up from the land of Egypt. Now, you know, the the children of Israel got to see some amazing things, right? They got to see God do some amazing miracles, got to see, you know, him come down in a pillar of fire. They got to see the Red Sea part. They got to see all these things, okay? But they got to see Mount Sinai. They got to see all of that. But when Moses is instructing everybody here in the book of Deuteronomy, this is after everybody that saw that's died off, and they've only heard that firsthand, I guess you'd say, from their parents. I mean, I guess it could have been children there, but they'd have been small kids, you know, in that situation. But I'm just saying the ones that had really seen it hadn't, weren't weren't there, who he's talking to right now. So he's telling them, he said, when you see this, just know that God's with you. But, you know, how many times have y'all felt like, you know, I don't know about y'all, but I'd like a burning bush. You know, I'd like lightning to strike, or I'd like some big show of knowing God's with me, rather than by faith just believing that God's with me. Right? It's always easy to push, you know, push him out there and say, yeah, go out there to battle, God's with you. I'd like, you know, where? Right? Like a little show of force, a little, you know, you get to see the angel fly over. Some big dude standing there with the sword, you know, and you're like, oh yeah, okay, you're with me, okay, oh, no problem, let's go. Right? But everything, our walk is called a walk of faith, right? We have to believe God, trust his word, and step out. And then sometimes we don't do that well because we're sight-oriented. Everything that we do is about what we see. Right? I believe it when I see it. So, here's Israel, and he's telling them, okay, you're going to see your enemies, and you may see more horses, more chariots. They're going to be more numerous than you. But don't be afraid of them. God's with you. Okay? Now go to verse 2. And so shall it be that when you are on the verge of battle, that the priest shall approach and speak to the people. Now look who steps up, the priest. All right, go to verse 3. And he shall say to them, hear, O Israel, today you are on the verge of battle with your enemies. Do not let your heart faint, nor do not be afraid, and do not tremble, nor be terrified because of them. Just keep on going. 4. For the Lord your God is he who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you. 5. Then the officer shall speak to the people, saying, what man is there who has built a new house and has not dedicated it? Well, let him go and return to his house, lest he die in the battle and another man dedicate it. 6. And what man is there who has planted a vineyard and has not eaten of it? Let him go and return to his house, lest he die in battle and another man eat of it. 7. And what man is there who is betrothed to a woman who has not married her? Let him go and return to his house, lest he die in the battle and another man marry her. 8. So the officer shall speak further to the people and say, what man is there who is fearful and faint-hearted? Let him go and return to the house, lest the heart of his brethren faint like his heart. Now, I just wonder what happened. Here's a whole army of people, all right? He says, when you step out to battle and you see the enemy, so he's seen the enemy, right, out there, and they're more numerous and the horses and everything like that, then he's going to say, okay, we need to talk about him. Who built a house and you hadn't really got to enjoy it yet? Well, you know, did they check them to see if they were lying or not or whatever? You know, I did. I didn't get to my house. So, okay, well, you can go on back. You know, who planted a vineyard and you hadn't eaten the fruit of it? Right? Okay, go on back. Who married a wife and you hadn't, I mean, who has a wife or a, I guess you'd say, who's engaged and hadn't got married yet, right? You know? Well, you can go on back. And then finally, whoever's fearful and faint-hearted, go on back. Now, I mean, can you imagine starting a battle like that? If you're one of the officers, you'd get kind of scared that we're standing up in front thinking, hope everybody just doesn't leave and go home. Right? So the priest came out first. This is get good in just a second. Just hang on. The priest came out first, and then the officer stepped up and made this declaration. All right? And he says, we're about to go to battle. So the bottom line is that we're going to battle, and when they were going to battle, they wanted everybody focused, and they wanted everybody who was in faith. You with me? Get everybody else that their mind may be thinking about something else. When they see the army, they're going to charge. And the guy yells, charge. He said, I hope I don't get killed because I never did get to really, you know, have my wife or eat of the fruit of that tree back there. He'd be thinking about something else, so he's not going to be good in battle. His mind's distracted. So then let me turn it around here to us today. Isn't it true that if the enemy can get us distracted, right, then he's already won half the battle? Why do you think he wants to do that? Why do you think there's so many distractions in the world? What do you think right here at Christmas time? Here we go. I'll throw in the Christmas message. There's so many distractions. All the things can go on, and we miss the whole spirit of what Christmas is about. Because it's the enemy's, what he wants to do is to get us distracted. Here, God already knew it. He said, man, just put the priest out here because I'm anointing this group to go into battle. What the priest was there for, to call the blessing down upon the army. And he said, but we got to get rid of all the faithless because they are going to hinder the effect of the army. Wow. And it's saying Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it's impossible to please him. And the thing that pleases God and makes God tick and God makes God flow in your life and move in your life more than anything is faith. So then if the enemy can get you fearful or the enemy can get you looking at the mass or looking at the army, look how big those horses are, look at the wheels on the chariot, or oh my gosh, look at this, look at that, whatever, then he's already winning the battle. Because God's going to move in your life when you get in faith or you get around people of faith. You with me? Why is church important? Because we need to be around a body of people of faith. Because if you're not around a people of faith, then fear is going to come in, doubt's going to come in. Okay? Now go to Isaiah 35. And I think it's verse 1, 2. At least we'll start there. Now in Isaiah 35:1, it says, the wilderness and the wasteland shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. Okay, just keep on going down. And it shall blossom abundantly and rejoice, even with the joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, and the excellence of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are fearful hearted, be strong and do not fear. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, and with the recompense of God, he will come and he will save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb sing, for the water shall burst forth in the wilderness and the streams in the desert. And the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water, in the habitation of jackals where each lay, and there shall be the grass with reeds and rushes. You notice that a minute that the people got in faith, everything changed. Many, he says, get those people and strengthen their hands and the feeble knees, and talk to the faint-hearted and say, Be of faith. God's with you. He's going to deliver you. The minute that happened, then things changed. Right? Go on down to 8. And the highway shall be their road, and it shall be called the highway of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but shall be for others who walk the road, although a fool, and shall not go astray. 9. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast go upon it. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. 10. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing and with everlasting joy on their heads. And they shall obtain joy and the gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. All because they got in faith. Isn't it amazing that the one thing that can change everything in life is faith in our heart? But faith can't be something that's necessarily grabbed hold of, right, or seen, because it has to be something that's produced within you. Because faith is produced inside your own heart. It's what you believe to be true. How many of y'all have ever known what to do, like you knew what was the right thing to do, but you didn't want to do it, right? And so you tried doing the thing that you're doing it your own way or whatever, even though you knew it was wrong. And you're trying to do it, but you know the whole time it's going to fail because you know you should be doing this. Right? Why? Because there was really no faith in your heart. You're just being stubborn and obstinate because this is what you really wanted to do. You know, God tells you, well, just forgive that person. So I don't want to forgive them. You know, I want to be mean to them. I want to be ugly to them. But inside of you, even if you did it, you knew it was wrong. You've already convicted yourself and condemned yourself because you knew it wasn't right. Because, see, your faith is over here saying, no, this is really what you should be doing. Well, it's that faith that moves mountains. It's that faith that changes the course. It's that faith that takes the wilderness and turns it into rivers. It's that faith, that point of view right there that clicks over and says, this is the right thing to do. It's that faith that brings about joy and gladness and the sorrow and sighing flee away, that the feeble knees and the weak hands become strong. Without that faith in your life and without you walking like that by faith, you're going to always lose. But if you do walk in faith, then it says a highway of holiness comes up before you. God lays a path out before you to walk. Lays it out there, puts you, and says this is where the road is, and there ain't going to be a lion on it. There ain't going to be some kind of ravenous beast. I'm not sure what a ravenous beast is, but I surely don't want to meet one on the road. Right? I always think it's funny because, you know, you can read several places in the Bible where it always talked about in the Middle East, lions eating people. Well, you won't see lions in the Middle East nowadays. But apparently in that day, lions were even one point they said, man, we got to inhabit the land or the animals will take over. Right? She-bear come out and eat the kids because they were messing with the prophet. It's a pretty bad she-bear. There's ravenous beasts everywhere in the world still today. And I don't mean wild animals. That wants to consume and wants to do whatever. But God says if you'll stay in faith and you'll walk in faith and you'll set your heart in doing what you know that his word says and stand and say, no, I trust and I believe in you, that you will always walk the highway of holiness. You'll always walk the place of victory. And when you're in that place, listen to me, of battle, and you look out there and you see the enemies and you see horses and you see the chariots and you see everything so numerous, the thing to do is to stop right there and evaluate your faith and where you are. And if you've got an area that you're faint-hearted in, you better get strong-hearted. Because, see, we've got to be doing an evaluation of ourselves all the time. And looking in us and saying, where are we fearful? Because then you'll end up like Job, and you said, the thing that I feared the most is what came upon me. Well, yeah, because that's really what you were believing. So, to end this, when I was reading this and studying about this and just thinking about it, and the Lord was just showing me this, it just really made me realize that this holiday season, how easy it is to get off, and how hard it is, how needful it is for us to stay on track and to make sure that everyone around us is understanding what we're doing, what we're celebrating, why we're worshiping the King that was born, why we're standing here saying, no, I'm a Christian and I'm proud of it, and to make our faith ever known. Because, folks, I want to tell you something. There's a whole lot of fearful and faint-hearted. that'll be running home to mama and not be doing any battle and not be winning anything in this world. But not you, oh mighty sons of God, ready to charge into battle, eating your fruit before you left the house. No need to go home. Got my apples right here. Let's go to battle. Right? Amen. So, praise God. Praise God. So we can charge into battle. We're going to see victory. I'm actually going to take this message, tear it all to pieces, and preach it back to you again one of these days. Because I have another whole part two. So you might mark it in your Bible and read about it a little bit more, because I'll be coming back at you. Amen? All right, well, praise God. We're not going to be having church next Wednesday, because that would be Christmas Day, right? And then New Year's is going to fall the next Wednesday, so we won't be having Wednesday there. That'll be New Year's Day. Y'all be with family. So this is going to be our last service. Will this be the last Wednesday night of this year? But we do have two more Sundays, right? We got this Sunday, and then there's a Sunday after Christmas, before New Year's. Yeah, okay. So we got two Sundays, but no more. This is it. This is the last Wednesday service of 2013. Wow. Where's time going? So if you want to give an offering tonight, on a Wednesday night, then ushers, help me here. Oh, yeah. Thank y'all. I'm going to say something again, if I can remember, on Sunday, but thank y'all for everyone that gave coats to the kids. You know, they all got down there. I know Dwayne made the announcement the Sunday he was preaching, but they all got down there. They've been, you know, hadn't got pictures back yet, but what a blessing. It was a great blessing. And a matter of fact, the Wednesday night we picked them up, they were down there on the kids by Friday before the, or when the big storm came in, when it was also cold, so everybody was taken care of. So it was a great blessing. They were all excited and encouraged. It was great. God worked it all out. So glory to God for that. So thank y'all for that. Y'all are awesome. So put your hand on your offering. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you that we can give, that this is a season of giving, season of blessing, season of just doing things for others. And so, Lord, we just praise you for it. We thank you for it. And Lord, I just thank you for blessing each and every person here, blessing this offering tonight, but blessing, Lord, every business, every person here, everybody that calls this place home. And Lord, I just thank you for your hand just being upon it and just moving in miracles and signs and wonders in their lives. And we thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. So Sunday we'll have a festive service, Christmas service. Singing Christmas carols. Yeah, it's going to seem weird having Christmas in the middle of the week, but it will be good. So I did talk to the Lord, cast all the calories out of everything this year, so it won't make any difference. Go ahead and enjoy yourself and indulge. Eat the fat and drink the sweet. Yes, eat the fat and drink the sweet, and tomorrow we'll go on a diet. Amen. Well, stand to your feet. Grab the person's hands next to you. Lord, I just thank you for tonight. I declare these are the greatest, most faithful people on the face of the earth. I declare, Lord God, that they can go forth in power. And I thank you, Lord, that as we come into this Christmas time, as we go to be with families, all these different times of and different things and different parties and different things that we go around, I just declare, Lord God, that we're going to be people of faith. Lord, the world can say it's a bad, it's nay, 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 but we're going to say yay, 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 because Jesus is on our side. And so, Lord, I praise you for it, and bless them tonight, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.